This morning, Pastor Beth was scheduled to preach. She has a family matter that she is attending to. Pastor Beth requests no calls or visits right now, but your warm thoughts and your prayers are always appreciated. So in the meantime, I'm happy to offer you a sermon that I preached in the past. Now, you have a choice around this. You can think, wow, this is lousy. We're getting a recycled sermon. Or on the other hand, if you're positive people, you can see this like really good spaghetti, you know, with really great sauce. It always tastes better the day after. Or for us, let's just say about 4 years after. Thank you for your grace today. As we continue in this series, the real gifts of Christmas aren't found underneath the tree. Let us pray. Loving God, we pause now to pray first for our sister in Christ, Beth, and her family. We know that you hold them now in your eternal care. Grant your peace in abundance. And now, give us ears to hear the voice of the prophet Isaiah. Give us ears to hear the songs of angels. Amen. Well, this past Thursday, I was at the bookstore, Barnes and Noble, not here, but out of town. And I was perusing the Christian Living section when suddenly there was a welcome surprise. A choir from a local Montessori school were perched on the second floor overlooking the lobby, and they began singing Christmas carols. Now, this being a commercial establishment, most of the Christmas songs were secular. You know, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Frosty the Snowman, I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas. But on the other hand, they did slip in some sacred carols, one of which I found myself humming along to as the 7th and 8th grade graders were singing, Angels We Have Heard on High. Humming along to that beautiful chorus that we'll soon be singing, Gloria in Excelsis Deo, a familiar carol. Even if we struggle sometimes to sing the Latin chorus, it is one of our beloved carols for this season. Angels We Have Heard on High is a familiar carol. And we're even more familiar with the very first Christmas carol that was ever sung. Sung before God, before an audience of shepherds. We know the lyrics, don't we? Glory to God on high and peace on earth to all. We know it. It's familiar. Yet, though we know this story, we've heard it, we hear it every season, we may never have really understood how subversive the first Christmas carol really was as these angels sang about a heaven-born peace. It was subversive then, and it continues to be subversive today as we consider with the candle of peace now illuminated before us, God's peace, peace born of heaven. In the days of Mary, Joseph, and the shepherds, there was only one man who was credited with bringing peace on earth, and that, of course, was Caesar Augustus, the ruler of the civilized world. He was credited with being the bearer of peace. Caesar Augustus, with his legions of the world's fiercest warriors, was the one who secured peace for little towns like Bethlehem across the Mediterranean world, across the Roman Empire. Augustus, in order to secure this peace, spilt the blood of thousands of people who dared challenge his authority. That's how peace, empire, was established. That's how peace, empire style was established then, and it's how it's established today. Pax Romana, Pax Augustana, peace which comes with the spirit sword. Far north of the little town of Bethlehem, for example, along the Turkish coast on the Aegean Sea, it would not be uncommon to find city inscriptions like this one, found in the city of Halicarnassus during the days of Caesar. This is what what was inscribed on the city gate. This is what the city believed, what most people, Roman and non-Roman, believed about Augustus. Since the eternal and immortal nature of everything has bestowed upon mankind the greatest good by gifting us with Caesar Augustus in this age, the father of his own country, father of divine Rome, the son of Zeus, savior of men, providence has exceeded all of our hopes and prayers. For land and sea are at peace because of him, and the cities flourish with good order, concord, and prosperity. There was one meta-narrative that was heard and believed by throngs of people during the days of Mary, Joseph, and the shepherds. Caesar Augustus was the Prince of Peace, who brings peace with a bloody sword. But now, in dew-soaked fields outside the town of Bethlehem, weary shepherds in the night hear a brand new song, a song they've never heard before. They are introduced to a new meta-narrative that continues, brothers and sisters, if we believe it, continues to be subversive at this very hour. What the Hebrew prophet Isaiah saw centuries before, and now what the Christmas angels sung about as they announced the birth of Jesus, is that this newborn baby, born in a dirty stable, a baby born to a teenage unwed mother and an obscure carpenter, is the one who brings peace to earth. He himself, this child, not Augustus, is the Prince of Peace. Christ brings a peace that can never be secured with a sword, but a peace that is realized, a peace that is born when humility is displayed, when a stranger is invited to become a new friend, when forgiveness with no strings is attached is offered. He brings a peace that's realized when ruptured relationships are restored. Bethlehem's child, we believe as the church, is the Prince of Peace. And his way of peace, the only true way of peace, secures God's intention for harmony in our lives, the church, and the world. That first Christmas night, the shepherds were offered a choice by this choir of angels. Continue to trust the meta-narrative of their day that Augustus is the Prince of Peace. He brings peace with violence. He brings peace with soil that is bloodied. Or instead, let go of that meta-narrative and dream and hope and believe that a new story is born with the birth of Jesus, trusting this new narrative that it is a vulnerable newborn child who is bringing God's peace into the world, a peace that is only realized when humility is displayed, when a stranger is invited to become a friend, when forgiveness is offered lavishly, and yes, when ruptured relationships are restored. And we know, of course, the choice the shepherds made that night. They chose to hum along with the angelic chorus, and they chose to bow before a new bearer of God's heavenly peace, so much different than Augustus of their day, and so much different than the Caesars of our own day, who are still very much alive, including in the age we live in. On this second Sunday of Advent, we now face the same choice that the shepherds faced. Who for us is the Prince of Peace? Which voice do we open our mind and our heart to? Or do we open our heart and mind to the angelic chorus, "Peace on earth, Christ is the Prince of Peace"? Or on the other hand, without thinking, do we continue to give ear and heart to voices that bellow from below, bellowing and arrogant voices that say, "Peace only comes with more bombs, more exclusion, higher walls, and more violence. Pax Augustana. Pax Christo or Pax Augustana. It's the choice of the church. Every age. It's our choice today. Peace comes when we choose Pax Christo, when we humble ourselves, when we embrace strangers as friends, when we extend forgiveness with no strings attached, when we work ourselves to rupture, or to not rupture, repair ruptured relationships. This is the choice that we make. This is the choice that the church is making at this hour. This is the choice that nations face. Pax Augustana, Pax Christo. Pax Augustana, peace which comes with the destruction of your enemies. Pax Christo, secured contingent upon loving our enemies, loving one another into mutual submission. You may never have thought of this as a Christian, but striving to be a person of peace is not optional if we're going to follow Jesus as our Savior. You can't just choose Jesus as your personal Savior to get you to heaven one day when you die. Jesus isn't a buffet here. You know, you can choose this part of Jesus you like and that part you can reject. No, when we choose Jesus, we also choose him as the Prince of Peace, and we commit ourselves as people who make peace, who live the way of peace. The Apostle Paul confirms this in his letter to the Roman church when he writes, Paul writes, "If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all." Peace is a gift that comes with receiving the gift of the Christ child into our lives. And this gift that you never find underneath a commercial Christmas tree, the real gift of Christmas, the gift of peace, if we receive it and open it, it does require something of us. It requires us to walk the path of the Prince of Peace practically in our everyday lives. So what might that look like for you, especially during this season? Choosing Pax Christo, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. I will follow his way of peace by humbling myself, by extending forgiveness, making a stranger a new friend, working to be a peacemaker in broken relationships. Well, maybe it looks like this. Maybe today you pick up the phone and you call that loved one that you're estranged to. You pick up the phone and you invite them to the family table this holiday. Maybe you haven't spoken in years, but maybe out of that conversation you begin to find common ground. You begin again a new relationship despite yesterday's pain. Maybe this is what it means for you practically, to follow Jesus, the Prince of Peace, in being a peacemaker. Maybe this is what peacemaking looks like for you during this season. Instead of seeing with suspicion a neighbor who is ethnically different than you, religiously different than you, you stop and you pray and you ask God to see this beloved child of God the way that God sees them. And you cross the street and you introduce yourself to them, a stranger becomes a friend. A relationship begins in a quest of mutual understanding. Maybe this is what it looks like for you during this season to follow the Prince of Peace, Pax Christo. I wonder, maybe, are you willing to speak up and offer another perspective when someone in a moment of unmindfulness says something stupid like, "I think all of those people are this." Could you speak up and gently remind them that the mass classification of people makes for easy sound bites, but is never helpful if we're trying to build relationships built upon mutual respect? We as a church, we talk way too much about people instead of with people, especially people who are different. Maybe this courage, maybe this willingness to stand and offer this perspective, maybe this is what Pax Christo means for you. Pax Christo is not all about being polite and nice. It's about having the courage to speak the truth, even difficult truths. Maybe following the Prince of Peace means, instead of running from conflicts you experience in your life, instead prayerfully and carefully enter those conflicts in order to promote peace among persons, communities, the church, and even the nation itself. We do this enough. We as the church, we who are bearers of peace, perhaps then we hasten the day, we hasten that day when the kingdom of this world will finally become the kingdom of our God, and on that day, lion surely will lay down with lamb. May you find yourself humming along with shepherds and angels as you receive this gift of peace, a gift that is meant to be opened before Christmas. And as you hum along, you unequivocally answer the call, Christ's call from the Sermon on the Mount, to be a peacemaker yourself. You receive this gift, eternal peace, a gift that you will never find neatly wrapped in a bow underneath the tree, and now you give yourself to a new heaven-born meta-narrative. Lasting peace only comes with the Prince of Peace. We make full use of this gift of peace, offered to you and to me by God, God's self, as we commit ourselves on this second Sunday of Advent to live Pax Christo, Christ's way of peace. And what does that way of peace look like? It's a life characterized by humbling ourselves, embracing strangers, making them our friends, lavishly extending grace and forgiveness to the other, of course, and rolling up our sleeves to repair ruptured relationships wherever we find them. Pax Christo, Christ the Prince of Peace, our commitment to live his way. Thanks be to God.